And so I asked myself, could I go for 1 week without buying any packaged food? And it occurred to me that since weaning, I'd probably had packaged food every meal of my life. And I didn't know how to do otherwise. Here's what works. Go to the store, and I'm like, can, box, rubber band, sticker, not any of those. What do I got? Broccoli, cauliflower, apples, oranges. And then I figured it
out. What's awesome about that is it forces you to eat healthy things.
Yes. It wasn't my intent, but that's how it's worked out.
Right.
Joe DeSena here for Spartan Up Podcast, your grit and resiliency partner. We rip you off the couch every week and make you uncomfortable. That's the good news. And if you hear a little wind, that is the price you pay for being outside. And I want to be outside. I'm sorry. Now, check this out. We are going to be expanding this podcast. We're going to be diving into topics like DECA, which is more the gym crowd, right? The CrossFit crowd, etc. We're going to be diving into endurance, this crazy stuff we do like death race or running up and down the mountain for 24 hours here in Pittsfield, Vermont. We're going to dive into La Ruta, a brand we purchased down in Costa Rica, the oldest, toughest mountain bike race in the world, Tough Mudder, et cetera, et cetera. We want to hear from you in the comments here what you want to hear more about. Like, do you just want to hear about La Ruta and mountain biking? Do you want to hear about DECA? Do you want to hear about endurance? Tough Mudder, what is it that excites you that you want us to go deeper on? And we are with you. Stay tuned. We've got Joshua Spodak, NYU professor, came to the farm. This guy's gotten me out of my comfort zone. I mean, I've been on his podcast. He's got a popular podcast. And I got to admit, I'm not happy. He's making me very uncomfortable. I think he can make you uncomfortable in a good way. Stay tuned. Listen to this podcast. I think it's going to change your life. You might not be happy at first. I'm not. But I think you'll be happy later.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Wild Alaskan Company. With wild-caught and sustainable seafood delivered right to your door, it's never been easier to access the best seafood that Alaska and the Pacific Northwest has to offer. Go to wildalaskancompany.com and enter the promo code SPARTAN on checkout to save $25 off your first order.
Spartan Up Podcast, I'm with Joshua Spodak. Did I say that right?
Yes, you did.
We are on the farm in the woods because that's where this guy likes to live, in nature.
I like to experience it. I live in Manhattan.
No, but I mean, if you had your choice, you'd be out in the woods.
That's a big question. Actually, one of my big inspirations was a show about these guys is in New Zealand. And they had this couple, and they live in a house where they grew an edible farm. So it was an edible forest. So all the trees produce, it's all edible. And they said, people would say to us, if you like nature so much, just go out and live in nature. But that's how it's always been. There's been a town, and someone lives out there, and then some other people live out there, and then the town becomes a city, the colony becomes a town, then people got to get away from that. And he said, anyone can go off in nature. There's not a whole lot of nature left. Where's a vacation people can go to where it's just you? He said, we specifically chose this place that was dirty, a brownfield, to turn it green. And that's why I want to be where the mess is, where the biggest change is possible. So I definitely like to experience this, but I'd rather be in a place and make that more green.
You want to turn New York City into a farm.
I want to change our culture where it's just use it up and move away to stewardship.
Yeah.
And I feel more clean picking up someone else's garbage off the street, which I do every day, than being out here and hearing that truck off in the distance belching, you know, like that.
Yeah.
And seeing, you know, yesterday I went up and down a few times.
Yeah.
And I had to pick up two pieces of litter that people are, and actually it stopped someone else from dropping something and leaving it there. And that to me is, it motivates me. I mean, in the moment, I feel lots of emotions of disgust and things like that. Also, but mostly that disgust is of myself before, because I did that as much as anyone.
Right.
And, but it motivates me to bring the feeling that you get from stewardship, the feeling that you get from integrity. And, you know, I don't want to get too highfalutin, but that is available to everyone and we're missing it. And when I hear you talking about the kids and what they're getting out of it, and you read the texts, and they're like miserable. I know that we...
So what he's talking about is here on the farm during the pandemic, I've been recruiting kids to come up, and we've just been basically beating them up like Spartans used to do in the ancient world by having them go up and down the mountain, drag chains, carry logs, get in the cold river. And selfishly, I've been able to watch them transform in front of me. And so that's what I just wanted to give them perspective of what you're talking about.
And what's the transformation? Because what are they feeling in the moment? What do they think is going to come and what actually comes?
Well, they're feeling uncomfortable. They're used to a very comfortable existence. They live in a house with climate controls. They say, "Mom, meatloaf," and the food shows up magically. They don't have to do much. It's not like they're out mowing their lawn. They probably have a gardener, right? They don't have to take the garbage out. The parents do. They don't have chores like they used to. They're on their video games. And so this is a completely new existence, whether it's a day or 14 days like we've been doing. And they're hungry. Here's what I like to say. Here's the mantra that I've been giving them up here is, I want you tired, I want you cold, and I want you hungry. Like, that's because when you're tired, cold, and hungry, you start to appreciate all those things you had just a few days ago. And you start to realize, you know what, I'm tougher than I thought I was. I'm tougher than my parents are allowing me to be. So that's what that's the transformation that takes place. The kids literally become tougher, stronger, more mentally resilient in front of you.
Yeah, and as a professor, I can tell you that when I see my students at NYU, most of them have come through not this, but you know what you said they came from, and overwhelmingly they say, "I've never taken a class like this." And I don't challenge them at this level because NYU won't let me, and it's more of an intellectual, emotional challenge. But they also, they're like, I didn't know that I could learn these skills, to the social and emotional skills. And I say, you liked this yesterday, I was saying, there's two types of people. There's the people who go through experiences like this and they hate it and they love it. And then there's the people who ask for jobs from people like that. And you can't lecture that into someone. I mean, I hope that people get stuff from this podcast. It's useful to get a community around you of people who do that. But you have to go through it yourself. And that struggle, I don't know what you've gotten from all the different people you've spoken to. But I suspect I might bring you something that might change you and this community more than you expected.
I'm excited about it. You're a big thinker, and you definitely push my buttons in a good way. So I'm excited. And you know, we're talking to a bunch of potential sponsors who are interested in Spartan because of the large community and the geographic, you know, footprint. But they're interested in what can we do for the environment. That's what they want to talk to us about. So you and I need to talk about, like, how could we put me and these 7 million Spartans to work to change the world?
I have some ideas on that.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
So, all right, can I get out my notes?
Yeah.
So this is what I've been, all right, I put down the things that I noticed that I was, like, surprised about.
Yeah.
The room that I'm staying in, I think the AC has it down into maybe the 50s.
I know.
It's at
low 60s. I'm not happy about that either. Yeah. It's even worse than that. That AC, this is weird for the podcast, but that AC blows out in the bathroom that everybody's been using downstairs, and they've been leaving the door open.
Yeah.
And I said, I closed it 5 times myself.
I've been going into people's rooms and turning off the lights. I think they would just leave the light on 24 hours for the whole 24-hour thing.
Yeah.
The parking lot is full, and I keep hearing people say, "Oh, you're from Connecticut too. Oh, I'm from the town next to you," and they came up in separate cars. So, people leaving the lights on. The dryer was on. It's a beautiful sunny day out.
Put your stuff outside.
Right, and then as I'm sitting there, the woman goes in and gets up from the dryer, one tank top.
Fuck.
All this thrift shop stuff I got. I see almost no natural fibers in anything anyone's wearing.
Yeah.
And that made me think about myself too, because this journey, once you do it, it doesn't stop.
It doesn't stop.
Yeah. I mean, I'm breathing out carbon dioxide, right?
You got to stop breathing
everything. And everything I see people eating, I've seen a few fruits and I've not seen any vegetables. Everything was doof. Doof is my word for processed, where it's salt, sugar, fat, convenience.
Yeah.
And everything's packaged. And I'm sorry about your sponsors.
Yeah.
But the amount of garbage being produced here is like insanity. It's, I mean, for most of America, it's probably pretty low garbage. But here's the way I think about it. Imagine someone went up this mountain and they had a special exoskeleton that the military developed that allows them to go up the entire way, not breaking a sweat, because it does all the work for them. And they went up and did, and I don't know how many people are doing, maybe 25, 30. Yeah. And say this person did 40. And they didn't even break a sweat. That's what I see when I see all this package.
You're saying they're trying to supplement themselves with all this garbage.
Oh, no. What I'm saying is that there's probably some sense of leave things the way you found it.
Yeah.
It's still making its way into a landfill. 500 years from now, someone's still going to be cleaning up their mess.
Yeah.
They're enlisting other people to clean up their mess.
Right.
With all the packaging.
Right.
And no one's thinking twice about it.
Right.
And when I got here, I had some lettuce and tomatoes that came in plastic bags. Now, we're on a farm. I know there's farms in Vermont.
Yeah.
That stuff was from California.
Right.
And it was in plastic bags. So that's the most... I got to get those bags so I can bring them home so I can put them in my trash.
So this is going to be a cop-out bullshit statement from me, but like, I moved here to build a farm.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a vision to have the farm bring the food to the general store.
Uh-huh.
And the general store would cook for the weddings, and it would be like this whole rotational farming circular system. I can't even believe I'm saying this. I could not get it to work. Okay?
I've been thinking about this because...
I could not get it to work. I couldn't get people to wake up on time. I had the only cows in America that had brunch instead of breakfast because I couldn't get the general store managers to want to buy from the farm. It was like... I couldn't take it. It went on for a decade.
Uh-huh.
Unacceptable, my answer. You got to fucking figure it out. But like...
Well, this is what you were just talking about with Nick. It was like, this is what your mind comes up with, this stuff that's totally logical at the time.
Right.
And it's just like, it makes total sense.
Yeah.
And yet, how many rocks did I just go up that... How did they get there? Was it a bulldozer?
We carried them up.
People carried them up.
Yeah.
Right? So there are a few other things. But... I was thinking about what you could do if you wanted to.
And let's do it.
We'll be right back to the interview. But first, I want to talk to you a little bit about Wild Alaskan Company. One of the things we're always talking about is the importance of eating good, clean food. And we don't always have time to do it the way we'd like to. Well, that's where Wild Alaskan Company comes in. They offer consistent access to clean protein that makes it easy to cook healthy, delicious meals at home. They have curated boxes with wild fish like sockeye salmon, coho salmon, halibut, Pacific cod, and rockfish. But you don't have to know about the fish. They have a team of personal fishmongers ready to help you and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Think about that. Good, ready-to-cook, individual portions shipped to your doorstep of fresh, clean, healthy foods. And guess what? It should come as no surprise to you that studies have shown you can get a variety of health benefits from eating wild-caught seafood twice a week. We know how important it is to know where your food's coming from. This is sustainable seafood from Alaska and the Pacific Northwest. Wild Alaskan Company has no order minimums, 100% satisfaction guarantee, and guess what? We have a special deal just for our Spartan Up audience. You can save $25 off your first order just by entering the code SPARTAN when you check out. So one more time, Wild Alaskan Company specializes in premium, wild-caught, sustainable seafood in ready-to-cook portions. It delivers them directly to your doorstep. And just for Spartan Up listeners, save $25 off that first order by entering the code SPARTAN. That's wildalaskancompany.com and the code SPARTAN.
Look, it's your call. Do what they won't, so you can do what they can't. They don't really want it. Not like you. They don't want the pain.
That's impossible.
Don't waste your time.
You should just quit.
Don't want that grind. So rack it up, rep it out, Make them burn. What's it gonna be? You gonna break? Or break through?
Find the Spartan Training Collection at shop.spartan.com. Buy two items and get the third one free now through July 25th. All right, back to the interview.
I was thinking about what you could do.
Yeah.
If you wanted to.
And yeah. Let's do it.
It's some ideas. One thing is there's this other group that does conferences that I've been talking to about is to have one trash can. This is probably not something you'd start with, but something
you'd
work
to. Let me interrupt you. I lived in Japan.
Yeah.
Japan is no nonsense.
Yeah.
There's no garbage pails anywhere. Like, I couldn't find a garbage pail. So you take your own garbage with you, and then what ends up happening after living in Japan for a year, you stop producing garbage because there's nowhere to put it.
Yeah, and that's community.
Right.
I mean, it's community norms.
Right.
And right now the community norm here is, you know, it's probably something like don't leave any trash behind you.
Right.
But that's, it's also enough. Use all the technical clothing and all the stuff is, to
me. Well, you might not like it, but I created this shoe, this Spartan shoe, specifically because when we would do a Spartan race, there would be 5,000 pairs of shoes, not kidding, left behind that got dirty because everybody wanted to go buy new shoes. So I said, we are going to create a shoe that is indestructible. So that's why this came about. It's got to be cleanable so that people feel good that they have a clean pair of shoes after getting them dirty on the trail or whatever. You might not care. You'll go barefoot or whatever, but most people want to have a clean pair of shoes. So that's exactly, and I tested them by running them over with a bulldozer, dragging them, like, I'll show you the video. But so I'm leaning that way. I just haven't completely connected the dots and made it all work.
Yeah, so I'm the guy who's done it. And, you know, just to clarify, by the time I was in my 30s, I'd been to 6 continents. I'd been to several dozen countries.
Yeah.
I always had ice cream in the freezer. I always had pretzels. It was the Snyder's of Hanover where you get the stuff on your fingers.
Yeah.
Always had it. And I would have all these rules to keep myself from eating too much because it's very tempting to just
keep eating.
Eat more.
Yeah.
And now there might not be enough money in the world to get me to eat more of those things at all.
Well, now you're a complete Spartan. You shower in the cold every single day.
Every fifth day is a cold shower.
Oh, every fifth day is a cold shower. You do burpees every single day.
Yeah.
Right? You.
I apparently woke people up doing that yesterday.
But no, it sounds like you fully embrace and actually live authentically the Spartan life.
I'm getting there. You know, I'm definitely farther along than most people. I'm farther along. I did not intend this to happen. It began about 6 years ago. I looked at my garbage and I said, this is a lot of trash. People are going to be dealing with this for 500 years. And maybe governments should change. Maybe corporations should change. But this I'm responsible for. Right. And this is going to end up in someone's space. And I can do something about this. Or can I do something about this? And so I asked myself, could I go for 1 week without buying any packaged food? And it occurred to me that since weaning, I'd probably had packaged food every meal of my life. And I didn't know how to do otherwise. I would eat out all the time. New York City, right? Great cuisine. I made it 2.5 weeks. And actually, no. Before I started, 6 months passed when I was planning. Like, what do I do day one? What do I do day two? What day three, day four? What'll I tell other people? And all this stuff. And then one day I was like, fuck it. This is not going anywhere. Now. It starts right now. Right this second, it's going to start. And if I eat apples for a week, I'm not going to die.
Right.
Here's what works. Go to the store. And I'm like, can, box, rubber band, sticker, not any of those. What do I got? Broccoli, cauliflower, apples, oranges. And then I figured it
out. What's awesome about that is it forces you to eat healthy things.
Yes. It wasn't my intent, but that's how it's worked out.
Right.
And then over the years since then.
You can buy anything you want as long as it doesn't come in a package.
Right.
And they don't sell pretzels loose.
Yeah. Pretzel. I mean, if I ever wanted a pretzel, I'd learn how to make a pretzel.
Right.
And that would connect me, in this case, probably with my mom or my sister, which has happened a lot, because the gardening, the composting.
It forces a lot of good things to happen.
It's been good for me, yeah.
So all the packaging, which was meant, which was designed by companies to create longer shelf life, to industrialize food supply and stuff, has a lot of negative effects beyond garbage.
I don't like the effects.
Right.
Yeah, and it makes your life what these kids are sweating to get out of.
Right.
And we and what we tell ourselves, that's just the way it is.
Right.
That's not the only way it has to be.
Yeah.
And it's I can't express the joy that I get. Everyone knows me as the guy who was eating the raspberries. Like I love these. Like I found in Manhattan.
Yeah.
There's berry trees.
Did like you did you find the trees? Are they blossoming right now?
Oh yeah.
On the mountain. Good.
I believe that they were blossoming. New raspberries are coming in between times up and down.
They probably were.
Because there are more and more. And I found in Manhattan, there's berry trees. And, you know, I'm in my fifth year of not flying. And if to get off North America, I had to learn to sail.
Right.
So I took the train, the PATH train to New Jersey. And walking from the PATH train to the marina, the parking lot. And in the parking lot, there's two mulberry trees. Yeah. And the mulberry trees, oh, my God. This is me. At the mulberry tree. I cannot believe people eat ice cream and people eat
when there's blackberries
stuff.
And raspberries.
Yeah.
And I agree with that.
And I had no idea. Before, Ben and Jerry's was like my favorite thing to eat.
Yeah.
And apples tasted bland. And if you're knee deep in Ben and Jerry's, an apple tastes bland.
Of course. It's like the chain and the log this morning on the hike. The log is very heavy.
Uh-huh.
Until you've carried the chain. And then the log becomes light. But it's all relative, right? So you just need to change your taste buds.
Yes, and it takes a couple months.
Yeah.
But now the idea of eating Ben and Jerry's would be, it's not interesting to me at all. And apples, which to me, of all the fruit, apples are like the boring one, right? They're not boring. But they're, I mean, I'll take a mango over an apple if you give me the choice.
Sure.
But apples are just incredibly sweet. And there's complexity and richness to the flavor. And it's the same for an exercise. Like when I'm doing the burpees, I mean, now during the lockdown, the burpees for me are, I mean, 3 months into lockdown, the nation is losing its shit. And as a leader, Mandela has been one of my great role models. And Mandela was in prison for 27 years. And he emerged to become president of the nation that was apartheid. His birthday party, when he turned, I think, 70 in the late 80s, there's no internet to set this up, 200 million people participated in his birthday party. And he was locked down. We have access to all the culture that has ever been recorded. We have access to our friends and family on video. We have food from wherever we want in the world, anytime we want it. And we are complaining. And this guy becomes president. And
he was breaking rocks for 27 years straight.
Yeah. And the... he was a boxer before that, and he had his daily regimen. And he stuck on the day that he got out of prison. This is a huge global event. I mean, this is like global event on the scale of like Sparta, right?
Right.
And he doesn't talk about in his autobiography. He doesn't say who he's talked to. He doesn't say the world leaders he spoke to. He doesn't say what he said to the media. But he does say he got up at 4:30 and he did his exercises.
Yeah.
And I believe that that's part of what makes it.
Yeah.
It's you can't lecture that into someone.
No.
And so I'm thinking something you could do is, see, the way you got the rocks up there is the way that this works.
Right.
Is I think if you said to people at one event, I'm not sure how this would work out, but you would have to live it too. And you don't have to live it perfectly. You just have to show that you're doing your best, which is a much lower bar because everyone knows you can't do everything.
Right.
But if you don't do anything, then you don't have any credibility.
Agree.
So one thing I thought of was no car comes one person. In fact, if no people can come from nearby without figuring out how to
and
get
we've,
together.
We've solved that. This was a unique impromptu event you came to here on the farm. But we've almost solved that in that we charge for parking. And people get furious about, well, then carpool. Right? Because if you don't want to pay per car, carpool. And so we just need to raise the price to it. You have to inflict a little pain. Otherwise, people are just going to drive their own car.
Well, that if that works, that works.
Yeah.
To me, I like to have all the motivation internal. I might even say you get a reward if you come one person.
I like that. Yeah.
And make it.
Yeah, right.
And also, if they feel like the money's going to you, it's going to be different than if the money's going to charity, something
like that.
Another thing is maybe have one trash can and even a smaller thing for recycling. And whatever someone uses up must go in that trash can. No taking stuff home.
Yeah.
And at the end of the event, that trash can should be almost empty. And people will figure it out. Let them figure it out.
Yeah.
Like they will enjoy it.
Make it part of the challenge.
And the community will develop. And everything that people are getting from this awareness of the body, this the pain cave, that feeling of like just, you know, oh, it was good enough. That was good enough.
Right.
I'm done. That.
You don't want to do all this wonderful work to the body and to the community, but then leave behind the trail of garbage.
To me, it's like when we're using plastic and even the metal, even the paper, if it's recyclable, everyone knows in principle, reduce, reuse, recycle.
Yeah.
And then they go for recycle and they forget all the rest. But all the plastic that's ever been produced still exists.
Yeah.
And it's in the making of it where all the energy gets used up. Recycling is, here's a nice rule of thumb. If it's recyclable, it's garbage, because they put the word recycle on it and then everyone's like, benign, I'll just use more.
Right.
They know that. That's like marketing.
Yeah.
It's reduce. And we don't need the stuff.
Yeah.
So people will figure it out. It takes
more
time.
More apples, more broccoli, less plastic.
Yeah, actually the best thing, no one ate the kale.
I know.
From somewhere around here.
Yeah.
And I was like, I went to town with it. It was great because it was on the grill and I haven't tasted it so good. And let people figure it out. And they will. And they will get the joy, this discovery about themselves, mind and body. They will get with respect to nature just as much, maybe even more. And when you talk millions of people, when this starts catching on.
Oh, it's big time. If Mandela could do it as one person, right? If he could make such an impact, we could do a lot.
The potential is...
is massive, staggering.
Yeah. I mean, if this community starts being like, we're going to take a lead. I don't know if it's, you know, competition to me, there's two meanings to the competition. One is beating the other guy.
Yeah.
The other is reaching your potential and finding out what you got in you. That type of competition, I feel like this is really, I think there's people who are going up one leg, carrying up rucksacks with like me in them, like that much weight or not quite that much. What else was it? Blind? Like, they're not trying to win except to themselves.
Yeah.
And that potential with respect to nature, I think it's just as great as what you're doing. It's available. Like, there's a whole new territory that's just as big.
We have a lot of races we put on here in the woods, death races and so forth. And invariably, I'll stumble upon something from one of the races. Not necessarily a mustard packet, but like, a wheelbarrow.
I found a Ricola.
Today I found a shovel and a backpack.
Uh-huh.
And I said to Nick, oh, another one dead. Guy must be dead somewhere around here. I mean, who leaves a backpack and their shovel? But I found it and it looked like it was from a year ago at least. But when people get to a dark place where they're physically and mentally broken, they really forget the rules of engagement when it comes to the environment.
It was... you know. Yeah, until they get it, and then it becomes a part of you, and it's the striving that you can always find more, always more, always more. And I mean, compared to a lot of people, I'm pretty far, but compared to where I can be,
you got a lot of room to go.
Yeah, I mean, Sparta, they didn't have any plastic.
I know, and they did just fine.
Yeah,
spear and a shield. Let's talk about your book real quick. Give us one tip. From the book, because you told me the book is going to blow me away.
Yeah. Well, again, you can't... So the book is Initiative, and I call it Initiative instead of Entrepreneur. Most people use it for entrepreneurship, to start a company, a for-profit company.
Okay.
But a lot of people, they start nonprofits, they start habits, they just change their relationships with people. It's 10 exercises that if you do these exercises, you'll develop the skills, experiences, and beliefs of an initiator. The big thing is that most people don't do... If you... Our educational system tells you, here are the subjects to take. Here's when to show up, sit in the row. Here's how to show that you know it. Write this test, write these answers. That is them telling you what's valuable. They'll tell you, here's Plato's ideas of values and compare and contrast them with Maya Angelou. But you don't know your own value. And you ask anyone and they'll say, I value my family. I value my health. Okay, what happens when you have to pit these two against each other? that only comes through behavior, that only comes through action. And this gets you doing things where it forces you to find out what is important to me. What will I turn down in order to do this? And most people, the first thing they pick is not actually what they care about. And most people give up. They figure, well, I just, you know, Bill Gates found Microsoft. If I had found Microsoft, I would have done that too. But poor me, I haven't found that. You got to do the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And then you find out what you are really passionate about. The book is really about...
I've been saying that for a long time, actually, so I'm glad you wrote about it. I've been saying, because I saw a lot of young kids, 18, 19, 20 years old in my neighborhood, who would say, well, I just haven't found my thing. I don't know what I want to do yet. And I thought, well, I didn't really want to clean swimming pools, but I did that. But then that got me to meet a guy who then got me to Wall Street. And I didn't really want to do that, but I did that. And then eventually I found the thing I wanted to do. So like sitting on the couch and waiting doesn't get you anywhere.
Yeah, this is what I call exhausting passing fancies. Right. You got to try it and then exhaust it. And then you, each time you do that, at some point you realize, oh, I was doing that because my parents wanted me to.
Right.
And suddenly everything that your parents wanted, that you're doing just because your parents said to, that whole category is gone. And then you're like, oh, I was doing that because I thought it would make me rich. That all the money is no longer a big thing for you.
Right.
Here's one big takeaway. Yep. The idea of a lifetime comes once a month.
The idea of a lifetime. Okay, got it.
It may take you a lifetime to make it happen.
Right.
But that's the execution. The ideas. Right. The attachment people have to ideas is very high. But actually, once you realize, if this one doesn't pan out, or someone else has it, or I don't want it.
Next month. Yeah.
A month away, you got another one.
It's always execution.
And the more that you do it, the more that you develop these things, the more you're like, oh, I could just do them. You know, if I stopped doing what I'm doing now, I would have another passion equally great very soon.
Yeah. All right. You're awesome. I got to go turn the air conditioner down. I got to go pick up some garbage. I got to kill a few passing fancies.
And prior to all of that is, I think what I do on my podcast is I connect with the person. This is what I did with you when you were on my podcast.
Yeah.
You picked up garbage off the beach.
Yeah.
But first, I didn't say pick up garbage off the beach. I said, what's a passion of yours?
Right.
And what's something what does the environment mean to you? And what can you do to act on that? So I think you have to start with the emotion. You have to start with, I'm going with you that I think it's what you're giving these kids.
Yeah.
You like too, because you're giving them what you got.
Yeah.
And if that's something that matters to you, that personal growth, that self-awareness, that development, that grit, that getting through the dark times, I believe that you have all that ahead of you if you choose to do this. And it's going to suck.
It's going
to
suck.
Yeah, you're going to feel embarrassed. This is good enough.
And I'm the one preaching do hard shit. So here we go.
And I think you're the one who's going to get the benefit from it.
We're going to see. We're going to have to revisit this every month.
Yeah, meanwhile, I got a couple more laps to do too.
Go get it done. Thanks, Josh.
You know, Josh was awesome. Josh, like I said at the beginning of this podcast, he's made me extremely uncomfortable because he challenged me to be better. But not to be better by running up and down the mountain and sweating, but to be better by, you know, picking up garbage. And not just picking up garbage, like, why do we have the air conditioner set at 50? Why do I have plastic cups at events? Why do I have plastic knives and forks at the general store? So a lot of questions, a lot of stuff I have to deal with. It's going to make me extremely uncomfortable. It's going to probably cost more money. It's going to cost more time. But you know what? We should own it. We should own it as individuals. We should say, look, we might not be able to do the big thing and get who knows how many tons of plastic out of the ocean, but we could do our part and just tighten up our life. Look, I lived in Japan with my family. We were very fortunate for a year. The Japanese have figured it out. I mean, there's no garbage pails anywhere. If you blow your nose, you're sticking that little Kleenex in your pocket and figuring out where to put it later. And what happens after 2 or 3 weeks, you stop carrying around garbage. You stop picking up things in even paper bags. Forget about plastic bags, because what are you going to do with it when you're done? Plus, I love what Joshua says. Think about this. If you start thinking this way, maybe you'll eat more apples and more broccoli and stop. As a matter of fact, between the time of the podcast and filming this, where I'm speaking right now, I went to the general store and I almost grabbed, I'm ashamed to say, a builder's bar, right? An ultra-processed bar from Clif Bar. But I said, what am I going to do with the package? I just spoke to Joshua. I don't want to grab anything with a package. So I didn't do it. And so, you know, if you could incorporate this into your life, and I'm going to try like hell, I think it's going to change a whole bunch of things for the better in your life. So more broccoli, more sprouts, less plastic. That's our plan. And the funny thing is, we got a bunch of sponsors that are specifically talking to us about our environmental initiatives. So I think there's something out of this podcast. Look, I'm holding Josh's book, Initiative, and there's some amazing things in this book that will help you take your life to the next level. There are exercises you can get involved in. I've met so many people throughout the years that just are stuck. They're stuck. They don't know how to move forward. They haven't found their passion. They don't know if they should leave their job, even though they're not happy. There's a bunch of exercises in this book that I believe will help people get moving. My whole philosophy, and I said it to Joshua on the podcast, was just do. If you're just doing, you stumble upon something you love, and who knows, maybe a decade later you found something you're passionate about, like Spartan. But he's got specific exercises in this book that you can get involved in that maybe will help you. I don't know how I did. I didn't have a book to follow. So I wish this book was out when I was a kid. Anyway, we're gonna take ownership of our lives. We're gonna stop being wasteful of all these resources that the world has, so that somebody doesn't have to deal with this in 500 years. And I thank Josh. I might even go to New York and go to one of his NYU classes when the world is back online. Anyway, I'll catch you later. Why don't you guys comment? Tell me what you think, what you're going to do in your life to make a difference. Maybe it's as simple as you're going to walk the beach once a month and pick up some garbage. I don't know. But I want to hear from you what you're going to do. Make sure you share this with some friends. We put an enormous amount of work into this podcast. And if you don't share it, what the hell am I doing it for? It's not just to make sure there's less plastic in the world. I want to motivate you. I want to get people off the couch. Catch you guys later.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Wild Alaskan Company. With wild caught and sustainable seafood delivered right to your door, it's never been easier to access the best seafood that Alaska and the Pacific Northwest has to offer. Go to wildalaskancompany.com and enter the promo code SPARTAN on checkout to save $25 off your first order.